On today's episode, when to leave your partner behind, where to get the freshest steaks, and why is it so hard to talk to kids about sex? All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red dots. Who do you? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking to my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh, my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
This is Lori Beth Denberg, and welcome to Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg, the podcast. With me, as always, is my friend and co-host, Clark Roser.
Hello. Hello, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing okay. It has been a rough couple of weeks.
Yep.
Starting with you, actually.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
We've had some,
on the first.
We've had some COVID scares and then a lot of other stuff we'll talk about. But tell us what happened with you.
Okay, first thing that happened was, my grandmother is 90 years old.
Nanny.
And she hasn't. Good old nanny. And
I pour one out she for has, nanny, but she'd be mad that I wasted the wine.
She would. She was not feeling that great for a while. And, you know, being 90, she lives alone in this giant house. Yeah. And we were getting some people to come in and help her out and be with her and take care of her. And of course, right around the time that we do that, we spend 9 months apart. Nobody sees her. She's all alone in this house. And then 1-2 weeks, she's not feeling good. We come in, we try and help her out. We bring in other people. And that's the time that she, of course, gets COVID.
Of course.
So then she got COVID and we found out on January 1st. She's, of course, doing fine right now. That's the best part. The best part is she's good.
You're like, this is so annoying. And nanny's funeral is tomorrow.
Exactly. I want to make sure that we say nanny's doing good. My wife, my son, my parents, myself. We were all nervous then that we were going to get it. So we had to quarantine and get tested and do all the stuff. And
yeah, because you were all over there helping her out because she didn't have anybody.
That's
when you had helpers come in, but you were all there because she was having trouble. You know, she was being 90.
We were hiring these helpers, right? We were there, you know, interviewing people and talking to people. So it was it was a little bit just horrible timing. And then luckily none of us were tested positive. So we were all good. None of us got it. But we found out right around the 5th,
which
then the world blew up.
Well, then on the 5th, I went to Costco to shop for my dad.
Right.
And I'm at Costco and all of a sudden my throat hurts. And my tonsils are really big and I'm having a lot of trouble swallowing. I get out of Costco. I did buy the stuff. I don't know if that was responsible or not, but I was already in there.
Exactly.
I get the stuff. Normally I would get home and just, you know, put everything away and say hi to my dad and all this stuff. I put everything I bought on the counter next to the fridge. I walked to my dad's room, knocked on the door, and from outside in the hall, I said, my throat hurts, my tonsils are swollen, I can't swallow, I'm going in my room, and I'm going to make an appointment for a test, for a COVID test. And basically... And of course, my dad was like, it doesn't really matter. We're always together. If you have it, it's like 0-1 and 1-dead.
Yeah.
But, and I'm like, well, why don't I just do everything I can to not infect you should I be ill with a deadly virus? So I just go in my room. I get in bed. I feel shitty. I spend, then I did go right online right then to book a COVID test. This was Wednesday afternoon. The first one I could get was Friday afternoon. So I, you know, just stayed in bed. My whole plan was to sleep all day. I mean, I came out to pee. I came out you know, maybe to get water. But I basically like vampired the whole situation because my dad goes to bed early. My dad's usually in bed at 9:30, you know, and just hangs out and then goes to sleep. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to let him go in his room and that's when I'll come to life and live.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. So I really just slept. I went to go get my COVID test. I just slept and really kept myself isolated. And then I got the results that my test came back negative, which is excellent.
Yay.
But in between that, this was Wednesday, you'll remember. So
yep.
I woke up, I went to bed going, George is gonna do the right thing, according to me. I don't mean to get political, but according to me,
right.
Georgia was doing the right thing. And
yep.
And that was like, you know, called and really projected when I went to bed the next day or that night.
Yeah.
The next morning I wake up,
I think one of the guys was called, I think, the night before.
Absolutely.
So it was like 50-50 at that point.
Yeah. Pastor Raphael, whose last name I should know right now, but I can't think of it. He had been confirmed. The race had been called for him. And the other, the young guy, and as my friend said, she said, Georgia's really changed. They voted out the Republicans for a black guy and a Jewish man. That's how she's Armenian, and that's how she put it, which
it's
is
true.
Just like, I know it is. So I wake amazing. Up knowing that, and then I turn on my TV, of course, and I'm like, what's going on? Actually, no. I opened Facebook, and I saw a mutual friend of ours post, you know, riot at Statuary Hall. I can't remember how she phrased it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I turn on my TV. I'm like, what? And then I see the riot and see what's going on. And I go in to talk to my dad and I say, are you watching this? And he goes, yeah, I was watching it all morning. He's just kind of bored. And I'm like, what? He was talking about he had been watching the actual Electoral College
Georgia
procedure.
Elections.
Yes. No. The Senate confirming the Electoral College.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Right.
And he gave up on that.
Absolutely.
Before the Civil War started. So I say to him, they're rioting. They're rioting the Capitol. And he goes, what? And he turns off. He's watching some talking gorilla movie. Because my dad watches everything. And I go, is this Mighty Joe Young? And he's like, no, it's Ivan something. I think it was called the one and only Ivan in the end.
Oh, so, okay.
My dad was, that concerned and interested that he turned off his talking gorilla movie to watch what was happening. So, for all of you, 2 weeks ago, we did not put a show out. We went dark and it kind of wasn't the time. You know, usually I go on Facebook and Instagram. I'm like, hey, a new episode's out. And I'm like, that's not something I'm doing today. And I guess there's something to say for like, if people enjoy the show, it would have been a nice thing for them to have, you know, but it just, the whole thing was a mess and scary and amazing and surprising and not surprising at all. So,
yeah. When something as crazy as this, as terrifying, as big as this happens, it's hard not to talk about it, right? We started our first podcast that we're recording since it's happened, and immediately we want to talk about stuff like this.
Yeah.
But it also makes it really hard to listen to stuff that isn't talking about it, because then like, you're living in a different world, people, because I'm living in a new world where crazy shit is happening.
And also because the show is so conversational and it's like, that's when something important and significant and scary and all that stuff happens, you know, and then I just hear, you know, hey, on this week's, you know, whatever we're talking about, gummy worms, you know, it's like watching TV shows now and from before, even just earlier last year, and you go, you can't have that many people in the courtroom. You know, it's like, now we watch everything through our glasses. But anyway, you know, this isn't a political show. I know I kind of tipped my hat to my viewpoint, but we want to make it accessible to anybody. But obviously, this was such a big thing that's happened and happening that, you know, monumental. I wanted to address it. But
absolutely.
On a funnier note, I will say, well, also because of our COVID scares, Clark and Clark's family and me and my dad, this is actually the first time that we are recording remotely. Clark is at his house and I am at mine. Yeah. Usually, because we're both very careful about quarantining, and his family works at home and goes to school at home. My dad doesn't work. I'm not working. We have been recording together. So this is the first time we're doing it separately.
Kind of like we had our, you were part of our little bubble, right? You were, you were included. You were, had a little, like, you know, when there's like a big bubble and then a little bubble kind of attaches to it. That was, that was you. You kind of attached to our bubble.
I was like,
so you got to see Mimi and Papa. You got to see everything.
I couldn't hug them though, but I was like a leech pod that sucked onto your pod, like a lamprey.
But so far, I think this is working really nicely. The only thing, and I know nobody's going to really care about this because they don't see this, but we have a video so that we can see each other while we're talking. And you are absolutely about 5 to 6 seconds the video behind your voice.
Oh,
so
really?
I can't look at you. I can't look at you.
Okay, I'm not going to look
so
at you either.
Weird.
But I was not looking out of disgust. Oh, speaking of disgust, and not disgust, because actually, I think in our first episode, we talked about poop. Today, for not the first time, you know, we're supposed to record it. Okay, let's record it 2:30. And then I text Clark and I go, not for the first time. Hey, I need a little extra time. I have to poop. So just so you know, I'm feeling better going into this, and
good
so thanks for being here and listening. And do we have any questions?
We have a couple of great questions here, and why don't we get into answering some questions?
Excellent.
I feel like we need a new question jingle, don't we? I feel like we should get a question jingle.
Question jingle.
I love our jingles. All right. Question number one. All right. This is from It's Just Quinquin.
Okay.
That's the whole name. It's Just Quinquin. And It's Just Quinquin asks, how do you get a partner to take you out on dates if they never want to go anywhere?
Sorry for that great noise.
Yeah, LB, you have a little experience with this, don't you?
Have a little experience with this. A few different things like spooshed through my brain just now.
Yeah.
Which is, first of all, talk to them, ask them. I tell them it's important to me that I go out. Also, look at whether, you know, if what is important to you and what you really want doesn't seem to be important to your partner, that might be a bigger issue.
Yeah.
And also what I ran into in one of my gorgeous relationships that was well worth my time was, you know, let's just take movies, for example.
Yeah.
I want to see this. Like, oh, no, I'm not going to see that. You know, I'm not going to see that.
Yeah.
When was A Star Is Born? And the original,
we weren't
dating 50 years ago. But and I'm like, oh, he's like, oh, I'm not going to go see that. And, you know, now that everything's transpired and it's been over for a little while, which obviously I'm well over, as you can tell from the fucking angry tone of my voice. That's a different question. This turns into my therapy session. I really regret not just saying, okay, hey, Clark and Karen, let's go see this movie.
Yeah.
You know, I really regret. Because it wasn't like, you know, my ex-boyfriend did. He always wanted to hang out with me. He didn't want to not be with me. He always wanted to be with me.
Right.
And so I really regret saying, okay, I'm going to the movies with them. And then if he's going to say, well, but I was saying, you didn't want to see it.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And
just because they don't want to do something, just because they don't want to do something doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. If you want to go do something specific, go do it.
Yeah,
if they love you, they'll join you. If you're the kind of relationship that doesn't need to be together all the time, great.
Yeah.
But either way, something's going to work itself out. You gotta do what's right for you.
That being said, you never took Karen out to sushi.
It's true, but that's only because I don't eat sushi.
I know.
So it's very hard for me. You know, do you know that sushi actually...
You know how much rice they have? Mr. Yeah, Rice true. Eater?
It's true. I could eat just rice for the rest of my life. Rice, I was thinking about this last night. I don't know if this would be a horrible diet or a wonderful diet. If all I ate was rice and Benihana's ginger sauce, I could survive for at least a month, I think, without eating anything but rice and Benihana's ginger sauce.
But you get to drink water?
But I can drink water. I could drink water.
Okay, good.
Those three things, I feel like I could survive for a month. I could do a full survivor if they would just give me rice and Benihana's ginger sauce.
Well, you can buy Benihana ginger sauce and you can make rice. So what are you doing in February?
Is it the Benihana ginger challenge?
Exactly. It's your Movember.
All ginger, all July.
And Karen really supports you. And on Valentine's Day, she makes your rice into a heart. You know, and
see, that's I feel like even from the guy's side, if you're dating somebody and they want to go do something and you're not in the mood or you don't want to do it, you get a handful of those every once in a while.
Yeah.
But it cannot become a normal thing for dudes to just be like, nah, I don't want to do it. Nah, I don't want to do it. You will eventually lose the person that you are dating.
Yeah. And it's obviously, it's not, you know, what's the name of the questioner person?
It's just Quinn Quinn.
It's just Quinn. Oh, that sounds like a Schminstagram person. Probably.
Yeah, it's a Schminstagram.
You know, she's saying they never want to go anywhere.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like,
exactly.
Well, I wanted to go skydiving in India and my boyfriend didn't want to, you know.
Exactly. Obviously, it's not a once in a while thing.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get to, you know, get called on the carpet for not wanting to do something you absolutely hate, scared of, whatever.
Exactly.
But if who you're with never wants to go do anything, or specifically never wants to do anything you want to do, that's
exactly
a problem. You know,
the first step would be talking to them.
The second step would be, hey, go out. Well, right now, don't go out very many places.
Yeah.
Or go out on a drive. Yeah, you know, if that's what you can do right now, it's like, hey, I want to go to a drive. I want to go.
Yeah.
If there's no one on the beach, I want to walk around down there and say, okay, if you don't want to go, I'm still going. But
yeah, they can't order you and tell you how to live your life.
Exactly.
If you want to do stuff, go do stuff. They'll learn.
Hey, I'm going to coin a phrase. Just do it.
Hey, I like that. That's a very, it's a very thought out, very meaningful phrase.
Hey, did you just do it? Check. I'm a genius.
We should copyright that.
We should.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. It's just Quinn Quinn. I hope you have, I hope this helped you out a little bit, and please get your partner to take you out on places. That's horrible. All right. Question number two is actually, one of, if not my very favorite question of all time here on, Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg. And it is from, a wonderful lady by the name of Linnea. Here it is.
Hey, Merry Christmas. My name is Linnea, and I'm up in the mountains in California, and there's a weird thing. There's a cow, a black cow that's loose. I didn't even know there were cows up here, but it's loose and has been roaming around for, I think, 5 or 6 days, and I don't know what to do to catch it. Do you have any cow advice? Thank you.
Yay, cow advice.
That is my favorite person and question of all time.
Right?
And everybody, prove me wrong. Send in your questions from now on and try to top this.
let's count this as the bar. All right, people, this is the officially the bar that you need to cross. This is the best question.
Okay, Linnea, first of all, thank you for being a vigilant citizen and reporting this to the proper authority, me. Yes. and you said also Merry Christmas. Obviously, this happened a few weeks ago, so I hope you're okay.
Yeah, I should say this was a phone call that we got about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but because of everything that's been happening, we couldn't get to it until today.
So I hope everything worked out okay, Linnea. If the cow is still out there, I mean, that's a truly free-range animal. Yes. I would suggest either calling animal control or a butcher. And, I mean, fresh meat, if you're not a vegetarian, that's, you know, or is it one of those things where it was on my land?
What if she just happened to have like a bale of hay out there and the cow came, like, was eating, almost like, you know, when you're not supposed to feed stray cats?
Yes,
because then they'll just keep coming back to you. What if she was been feeding this cow for a while and it just keeps coming back to her house and she doesn't know how to get rid of
She's
it?
Like,
how do you get rid of
how.
A cow?
You don't. Well, it's funny because when you were saying like she puts a bale of hay, I was picturing like that cartoon trap where they eat the hay and then the big net falls from the sky over them and she captures this cow. cows are so big and stinky, and they're supposed to be. There was once in Orlando, when we were doing all that, there was some sketch and there was a cow. The cow was in the studio.
Wow.
Which I...
They brought a cow in the studio.
They brought a cow in the studio, which is not right. I felt bad. I mean, I didn't have a heart-to-heart with the cow. And then at the same time, I was like, you're stinky. Because I just talked to animals. And then the owner was like, well, it's a cow. And I was like, oh, I am. But I just remember
that.
Did
it poop on the stage?
I do not believe it pooped on the stage. I think it was a good cow.
I have to say, I didn't work with a cow, but I did work in my college years. I worked at Universal Studios at the theme park, and one of the shows that I did there was the Wild West Stunt Show.
Yes.
And in the Wild West Stunt Show, we had a horse, and the horse would come out, and we actually had to get rid of it because of this particular problem that kept happening over and over again. We had a horse, and his name was Butch. Butch was wonderful white horse, glorious, amazing, pretty, sweet, very sweet horse. I used to feed the horse and pet it all the time. But it, I swear to God, it would wait to go to the bathroom until a show. It would wait until there was about 2,000 people in the audience and it was in front of them before it would, you know, open up its legs and just start doing its business in the middle of the show.
Obviously the best part. If I were to see that, I would think, wow, how did they train that horse to do that? Tell me that didn't get the biggest laugh every friggin' time.
Every single time. It was just, it would get applause. It
of
was
course
amazing.
It was. So how come Butch was retired?
He was retired because people, they were getting some complaints, I believe, from mothers and whatever of a little bit of a, How do I say it? The horse's Schwanstucker. It was like
I was watching a lovely Wild West stunt show, and then me and my child had to see a giant horse thingy.
Exactly.
It unfurled, and it really made me realize how little my husband's penis is. And I did not come here to be confronted by the reality of my shortcomings and my unhappiness.
Exactly.
Before this, my child didn't know there were horses or penises. Oh dear.
So yeah, that was a sad day that we retired the horses.
Butch.
But that
you
doesn't
put
really
him
help.
Down,
Linnea.
You make it sound like, well, Butch, this is your last show.
No. Butch went to go live with one of the stunt people. He retired with the rest of us.
I really love horses, and I rode horses early, not like one of those crazy rich kids that like rides horses, but just like, you know, at camp or different places.
Yeah.
And I would really love to go pet a horse right now and scratch its like those big cheeks.
Yeah, we actually, Karen and I, we live in this part of LA that is a little bit of horse country. there are people here that have horses and there's horse trails and tons of stuff over here. So
yeah,
there have been conversations of, you know, maybe one of these days we move into one of those houses that has a little bit of a stable or something. Or Karen wants a horse so bad.
Oh, baby.
I know.
All right. So you know what? Let's get back to it, though. Linnea, yeah, listen.
Linnea.
Listen. Please, please call back and let us know how this resolved. Yeah. If we do not hear back from you within, I'll give you 1 month. I'm going to assume that the cow got you and is holding you hostage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm worried. I want to make sure this worked out. So please call us back and give us the update.
I'm kind of hoping that she adopted the cow. Like it was a stray cat and she just kind of let it come into the house every once in a while. And it was became part of the family.
It was in a relationship with an abusive farmer. And it just needed, it was like that movie, the Julia Roberts movie. What was that one called?
Pretty Woman?
No, yeah, exactly. Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Well, thank you, Linnea. I really, really appreciate that question. That was a great question. Let's move on to question number three. This is from Gary. And Gary is, I believe, from Facebook land. And Gary asks, my kids and I want a pet, but my husband is allergic to most fur or hair on animals. What pet would be a good addition to our family?
Oh, well, my first question is, how attached are you to your husband? Because really?
And question number two, are there any stray cows outside? Maybe there's the answer right there.
Gary, call Linnea. I think she has the lead.
I mean, fur's got to be different than leather, right? He's not allergic to leather.
Exactly. I mean, there are several options that are kind of well known. There are certain hypoallergenic dogs. Doodles, Labradoodles, sure. Golden Doodles are one. That's one of the selling points, which I hate to say because I'd really like to adopt a dog. Again, not to get political. But part of the appeal of a doodle is that they are hypoallergenic or supposed to be. There, I don't know the stats on this too, but there are hairless cats and hairless dogs that are
Austin Powers.
Yeah, I was going to say that are creepy, but when I walk dogs, I would go to this one park all the time and there was these really great people and they had a hairless dog. It was like a mid-sized dog. And this dog, I wish I could remember his name. He was always wearing like a neon t-shirt and sunglasses, kind of like sun goggles. He just looked like he was a surfer guy, sweet dog running around, but they had to protect him. You know, so there are those things, but I don't know, because hairless dogs often have like maybe some hair on their head or a little something. So I don't know if that would cause a problem dander wise, because we all know it's the dander. But I also don't know if that's true between fur and hair. There are some dogs that have hair, like Havanese. With a J.
Right.
Havanese are little dogs. But
Gary does say that he husband is allergic to most fur or hair.
I did hear that. So, I mean, is he allergic to you and or your children?
Yeah. I know. So she's seriously.
I know she said hair. So I was wondering if that has been scientifically proven or whatever. Mm. But so the doodles, there are a few hypoallergenic things. I mean, if we want to go way down, we can get some fish. You can get some fish or
a snake.
A snake. I hope you have small children and you get a dangerous snake. A snake, actually, a lizard and iguana. There's all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's not very cuddly. Or a bird, which birds can be weird, but birds can also be awesome. And if dude is allergic to feathers,
you know,
come on, curb kick.
I feel like one of my friends online has I believe it started as their kid's science project or something, but then it just became a pet for the family. They have two or three praying mantises.
Oh, is it
full-size big praying mantises? Mantis, whatever they're called. Mantis fighters. They're big, and they, you know, she like sits on her shoulder. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
I don't know. Just a thought. You could get insects.
You could get insects. You could get insects to feed to your iguana or snake.
Sure.
But on the if you're looking for the cuddle factor,
yeah,
of a pet, you know, look into hypoallergenic dogs. Find someone maybe that has one. I know. I mean, we're in COVID times. It's so easy. Like, find someone that has one and go make your husband rub its face and kiss it and see if he dies.
There you go.
If that's a chance, I'm willing to take. But and there is something to be said. Actually, it is a lot of work, but for having an aquarium.
Yeah. You know,
not just a goldfish in a bowl and not just a betta fish in the bowl, which is kind of easy because you can only have one. Well, unless you're running a fighting ring, you can only have one betta fish in a bowl.
Right.
What do they call betta fish and not alpha fish?
I don't know.
Because like the deal is that they're alpha.
Yeah. Oh, it's I've never liked fish. I don't eat fish. Fish are not my friends.
Oh.
Fish can suck it. I don't touch.
But that's
anything
what the shark said in Finding Nemo. He said, fish are friends. They're not food.
That's true. I could be friends with a fish,
I guess.
Are
you saying
you're
better than the shark from Finding Nemo?
Yes. Yes, I am. I am better than that goddamn shark.
Okay. I concede. I accept that answer. So Gary, thank you very much for writing in. Hopefully any of those things will work. And I am not legally liable if your husband becomes ill or dies from kissing someone else's doodle. That could be taken many ways. That would be, that's a, you know, a sound bite that could be taken way out of context. Okay. Thank you, Gary.
Gary, thank you so much. Moving on to our fourth and final question for this segment. This is actually a little bit of a funny question. He gets the question out, but then he kind of loses his nerve. Let's listen in.
Hey, my name is Terrence Wilson. Should I watch Pete and Pete at my party? I was stupid.
And that's it. That's my favorite part is that when he's hanging up, you can hear him saying to himself, oh, that was so stupid.
Oh, Terrence, first of all, thank you for your call. That wasn't stupid. This segment is now about Terrence's self-esteem and his right to make phone calls.
Right?
Because
why did he give up?
Because the answer to that question is, you know, it's always good to watch Pete and Pete, although what kind of party is it?
Exactly. You know,
is it like people over to the house after a funeral?
Right.
It might not be appropriate, or it might be great because it'll make them laugh. But Terrence, what I also love is that, you know, kind of most people maybe know, he might have had the option, like if the lady was like, if you're happy with your message, press 1 to delete and re-record, press 2. But I like that he didn't take that option. There's nothing stupid about that question. And there's nothing
Absolutely stupid about
you, Terrence. You're number one. You know why beta fishes aren't alpha fishes? Because Terrence is the goddamn alpha fish. Betas take a back seat. So thank you very much for your call, Terrence. Anytime you want to call in.
Yeah, and please call back with here's some good advice for all of you people out there. Think about the question you want to ask before you call. Don't wait until the answering machine goes beep before you're like, I wonder what question I should ask.
Or that thing where I forget who I called.
Exactly.
And it's like beep, and I'm like, Clark, hey, LB. Thank you, Terrence. Exactly. Thank you very much. Honestly.
Thank you so much. That was a good try, a good effort. You get an E for effort on that one.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
All right, so we're moving out of the questions now. It's time to play our favorite bit. LB helps you waste your life.
Ooh. And now, another rousing segment of LB helps you waste your life.
All right.
How exciting. I'm really excited.
Okay, what do we got?
Talk to you because I sent you a few of their videos.
I did.
There are these guys, Rhett and Link, R-H-E-T-T and L-I-N-K. They have an overall show, brand, whatever, called Good Mythical Morning.
Yep, and on YouTube.
On YouTube, and I'm sure they have goodmythicalmorning.com. I'm sure there's to it. I came to know them through, and it's funny, I think in our last episode, actually, someone named Rich wrote in to ask how to mitigate social media. And one of the things I talked about episode was how I get caught up in scrolling them. You know, you watch one video on Facebook, then another, then the next, then the next, then the next. That's how I found Rhett and Link.
Falling
That's
down
how
the
I
rabbit
found
hole.
These guys. But they, unlike political videos that make me, you know, murderous, they're just really funny. They have been friends forever. They grew up together, I think, in Georgia or somewhere in the South. And now they both live in Los Angeles.
North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. And so they both kind of got like a Southern, you know, sensibility. But they're really fun and funny.
Gentleman charm, I like to call it.
They have a little gentleman's charm. But so I haven't seen all of their big stuff. I, you know, just realized they have all this, you know, like longer content. But what I would see in the Facebook video feeds is just kind of 4 to 6 minute videos. And they do a lot of different stuff. Some of my favorite, these are ones I sent to you, Clark, is kind of contests. Yeah. They will get, like, I sent you the one about the pancakes. It'll be International Pancake.
Yes, I loved the pancake
game. So what they'll do is they will be served pancakes from, you know, different countries. And then there's a dartboard with a map of the world with the countries labeled, the ones that are in play. So they will have to eat these, you know, meals, concoctions, whatever it is, because they've done all different, you know, birthday meals and different Subway sandwiches from international places and Pizza Hut from different countries. So they have to then guess where they think this is from and then try to hit it with a dart on the big dartboard map. So it, that's what's funny about it. It's not just a guessing game where you get it right or wrong. You then also...
then there's a... have to be good at darts.
Yeah, because even if I say, oh, it's Venezuela, and I throw it and I hit China, and, you know, you... I guess it would be Rhett and Link. If I, Rhett, thought it was Venezuela, but I hit China on the dartboard, and you, Clark, Link, thought it was China, but you hit Venezuela, then you would win, because it's actually, the score is based on how many centimeters your dart is from the correct answer. So it's really
you can
fun.
Guess the wrong answer as much as you want.
You can. Exactly.
It's just about the dart.
Exactly. And so that just makes me laugh. It also really makes me laugh that Rhett of the two of them, you can tell is like much more competitive, because when he's waiting, then they have a woman with this very soothing voice who says, you've just
eaten. Oh, I love the woman with the voice.
Right? She'll be like, you've just eaten, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they are popular in...
This is from Puerto Rico.
Yeah. But so while this lovely woman is like, you know, getting through the answer, you will see Rhett just kind of with his eyes closed, like kind of like, you make my answer right. I really want my answer to be right. Like he's almost praying. Like you can tell that he's really competitive. Right. Then the other guy's like,
meanwhile, there's no reward. Nobody, whoever wins, just wins that episode. It's not like they get anything.
Exactly.
There's nothing that they're fighting for.
You know what? I will say this, though. To taking another one that's also kind of a contest. Ooh, and I just thought of another one that's really awesome. They'll do these when it's not guessing the country, it's guessing the decade. You know, like soda through time. And it'll be like, oh, here, it's the Dr. Pepper. And then it's a shuffleboard situation.
Right.
Where they have to play shuffleboard and they're shuffle? What's the thing that you scooch?
The puck?
I guess so. I didn't know if that was called the shuffle or the shuffle.
I don't know. let's go with shufflecock.
You know,
I like shufflecock.
Is that what the woman complained about the horse in the Wild West show? My daughter saw his shufflecock.
Shufflecock.
So they will have to say, oh, this is Dr. Pepper. I think this is from the 1950s. And the shuffleboard is, you know, marked up with probably eight decades, 1950s, 60s, 70s. So again, not only are they guessing the answer, but then they need to get their shufflecock where, you know, in the proper, you know,
spot. Yeah.
And again, even if you don't know the answer, but you end up in the right spot, you win. And of course, there's kind of a croquet aspect to it where they like, I'm just going to knock you off the board, you know, and see what happens. So that's really fun. But as far as like in those, at the end of it, there is a bit, for some reason, they have to put something down their pants. After whoever loses a shuffleboard. But as far as there being consequences,
there
are some consequences. They'll do things where, like this one that I just watched, what had to do with infrared light or not infrared. What's the thing where something's behind and if it's, and whatever's looking at it, if it's blue, it's cold, but if it's red, it's hot.
Oh, thermal vision.
So thermal vision. So there'll be two things behind a little whatever with thermal vision visioning at it. And one of them will be real and one of them is a mock-up.
Mm.
And so say it's, you know, you can see the outlines though. It's like, oh, and it's cold. That's an ice cream sundae. And those are hot pretzels. So which do... they have to pick, well, they get to pick, like, basically pick straws, and whoever has the longest straw gets to choose.
Mm.
So then, you know, they reveal them. So let's say Rhett will say, okay, I want that ice cream sundae. I think that's real. So he gets the ice cream sundae, and Link gets the hot pretzels. So
yeah.
Then they have to taste them. Now, one of them is real. Say the ice cream sundae is real. That means the pretzels are made of something awful.
Edible,
not poisonous, but awful. It'll be like, these were made by mixing crickets and toothpaste. Like, it's really crazy. So in those, and it gets very exotic. They have a very talented staff
cook,
there.
Chef.
Yeah, chef. Whatever, and innovative, and they really just go the distance to create some really interesting things. Like, oh, my other one that I sent you that I like is they have these, you know, Willet waffle, Willet burrito, you know, Willet blank.
Nice.
And that just means that, you know, here we have a burrito, Will blank burrito, Will Panda Express, Willet burrito. And they will concoct a burrito made of Panda Express, but in a very elaborate way. Like, it's like we made our own tortillas infused with ground orange chicken, and inside we put, like, they will make anything, and it's so innovative. And then at the end they taste it, Rhett and Link, and they either love it or they hate it, and they say, so Panda Express, will it waffle? No, or yes. It's really funny. It's really, really funny. And the guys are great.
And then the few that I've seen that you sent to me, it never turns into Jackass. It's never like you have to eat this whole thing and they're like, oh, they're hating it, and they're eating like gross shit, like toilet paper or anything.
No.
It's all edible stuff. And even if it's a bad thing, usually, at least from what I've seen, they take a bite and go, ooh, that's horrible. And then they put it down and they're done.
Yeah,
they're not being forced to do anything.
No, it's not a prank show. It's nothing
not
like that. It's not mean-spirited. It's all
not
kind of
all.
Full of love and light competitivity. Wait, competitiveness?
competitivity? Hey, I have another little bit of trivia here. Rhett and Link met in 1984. Which means their friendship is officially 1 year younger than ours, because we met in 1983.
Oh. Should we have a friend off with them?
Just
saying. Are you challenging them to a game of chicken in the pool next year?
I'm just saying, they might think their friendship is all that, but we've got at least a year on them.
We will take you on anytime, Rhett.
Any day.
But anyway, you could look up Rhett and Link. You could look up Good Mythical Morning.
They're good guys.
But as far as the rabbit hole down which my thumb scrolls me in Facebook videos sometimes, those are really bright spots. So thank you, sirs. And waste your life. Go forth and waste your life, listener.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much.
And now, another rousing segment of LB Helps You Waste Your Life.
That was nice. All right. Well, let's move on to our final question of the podcast.
Okay.
I'm glad to say that this question is from Jamie Lee, and this is from Facebook land as well. And Jamie Lee has a very simple but complicated question for us, LB. And that question is, please help me have the talk with my kids.
Oh my goodness.
That's it. That's the whole question. Please help me have the talk with my kids.
There's several things going on here. First of all, that's a very big question.
Yeah.
Second of all, you're asking it to me. thank you, Jamie Lee. Because I mean, that just, it really implies some trust and faith in me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, she's really gonna, I can't talk to them until I hear the podcast. You know?
Or maybe even afterwards, she won't have the guts to do it. She'll just sit the kids down in front of this podcast and make them listen to us right now. Like, maybe she can't even get that courage.
No, what she's gonna do is, because I'm not gonna suss out the birds and the bees right now. I'm still learning. But we're going to get a call from her kids in a couple weeks going, my mom won't have the talk with us. Can you help? her son in my story just now was about 3 and a half. So I don't know if he needs
exactly.
My mom won't have the talk.
I don't know if the four-year-old needs
But but this is actually a really good question, because we all know, you and I, from growing up, I almost said growing up quite recently, but I guess it was about 30 years ago since we started our journey.
It was a while.
You know, sex ed, I think, started, I don't know, when we were like 11 or 12, right around there. And I think the most important thing for anybody listening is to base what you want to tell your kids in reality.
Yes.
Which means, you know, it's normal. Those feelings, you know, feelings of sexuality are normal. They're expected. They are, you know, not that everybody has. You know what? Here's my advice. Here's my good advice.
Yeah.
Actually, this is bad advice, so take it with a grain of salt. Actually, don't. What I will say, Jamie, Jesus,
here's the advice. Ask
much? Ask a different podcast. No, watch the show Big Mouth on Netflix. Seriously, watch the show Big Mouth on Netflix. I feel like
that's what's his name show. That's who's the actor that does Big
and
Nick
John
Kroll,
and Mulaney. John Mulaney.
Yeah.
So this show, for anyone who hasn't seen it, is an animated show on Netflix. It's quite explicit. It's quite explicit. Oh, did I just say explicit?
Implicit.
I mean, bad language. It's Netflix. It's got sexual content and, you know, animated nudity. But it follows a group of middle schoolers that are hitting puberty, and it hits it hard. It really goes in deep to all of the shit we all go through that no one ever talks about, or that no one ever talks about correctly or compassionately. You know, it's like, yeah, you're 13. You are going to jerk off 20 times a day. You are going to get a boner when you do not want one. And you go, if I don't want a boner right now, then how could I have one? Because it's physiological, you know?
Yeah. And
so when I say, Jamie Lee, to live in reality, I guess that's part of what I'm saying is, what is real? What is, you know, physiological? What is inherent in being a human being person, you know, that Homo sapien that comes along with hitting puberty? And besides all that, we have the social side of it. We have safe sex. We have consent. We have a lot of stuff that comes into it. And when I say, and again, I mean, how many times this episode can I say, I don't mean to get political, but, you know, if I were living in reality, I would not tell my kids abstinence is the only way to go.
Thank you.
You know, I would not, because it's not true, and it's not helpful, and it's not it doesn't work. So that's kind of what I meant just by living in reality. Go ahead, Clark.
It's so wonderful to hear you talk about that reality part of it, because that's really the key. The whole birds and the bees concept to me from the beginning feels horrible. Like, you don't need metaphors. That's the one point in life where you don't need to try and like make cutesy things. Like, forget about it. Just be honest. Just tell the truth. Say the word penis, say the word vagina. Your kids won't blow up. You just have to be honest and truthful with them, and tell them exactly what happens.
You talk
about love, you talk about sex, you talk about relationships. They're three different things and should be handled in three different ways. So you just have to be honest with them. Talk to your kids as if they're, real people. You know, and real people deserve respectful, thoughtful answers. So just be respectful and thoughtful and tell the truth. Don't dance around shit.
Yeah. And also, a lot of how you can approach a conversation like this with your kids is really based on the relationship you already have?
Yes.
Do you already have an open relationship that's kind of relaxed? Do you have a kid that, you know, is just like, forget it, mom, like slams his door, and then you're going to be like, can we talk about your penis? You know, it's going to be like, right. They turn on that loud head banging music. Because another thing you can do is you might not be the best person to have the conversation with your child, children, whatever. It might your spouse or significant other. It might be an aunt or an uncle. It might be a trusted, you know, friend of the family. So, and you can also seek advice from people whose kids know. Find a friend whose teenage daughter is pregnant and ask what they did. Do the opposite. They'll probably say, we pushed abstinence. It is important to be open to that, but to really, again, within this the concept of the reality of the situation, what is the reality of your relationship with your kids? Obviously,
with
you love
kid,
them. They're your kids and you're their mom and
of
all
course,
that kind
of
stuff.
Of
but
course.
As far as talking about stuff, where are you at?
You have to have at least a little bit of, it has to be somebody that the kid respects. So if you're doing nothing but arguing with your kid all the time, maybe you're not the person that should be giving the talk.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I think you're absolutely right. It could easily be a friend of the family, you know, somebody that's close to the kid and that the kid respects.
Yeah.
You know, and that you can trust will tell them the truth and not
exactly right.
Goof
like
off.
Like you choose someone and they're like, well, I can't tell you, but I can show you.
First, that's Billy, the penis goes in the ear.
Yeah, that's the wrong person. I mean, honestly, Clark, seriously, I watched through Big Mouth twice, and I think they should show this show to sixth graders. I think I think that this, and I say that kind of conceptually, hey, conceptually, no pun intended, but I mean, it is extremely rated R. So no one's ever gonna maybe do that, but you have a really hip-like kid, but.
You're not gonna watch the whole series. Maybe you could just find a couple of good episodes that really focus on puberty and growing up. And
But it's actually, you know what? It's besides the fact that I think it's a great show and I've laughed a lot.
I mean, Nick Kroll and John Mulaney.
Exactly. And there's so many like just talented, really funny people
fucking
involved.
Geniuses, yeah.
But
seriously.
Honestly, watch that show.
Yeah.
And take in the theme. I mean, I'm assuming you'll enjoy it because you're listening to
my enjoyable
podcast
show.
And it, you're not like, well, they wouldn't approve of that at the church. And I'm like, if you're at the church, why are you calling me to ask about sex? That girl from Nickelodeon, I don't know what to do with my kids. Should I call the girl from Nickelodeon?
But by the way, I do think that you've been the voice of every single questioner so far. Every person that's asked a question, you've given me their voice.
This has been a really
fun episode.
I have a habit of that. But as far as like seriously watching Big Mouth, look for the themes. Look for especially there's a lot of subplot and a lot of theme around shame. In the show. And what the kids are ashamed of and how that manifests.
Yeah.
And that's really something to, because it's not only about, you know, where do I put it and why is it hard? And I don't know.
Right.
And I feel sick once a month and my boobs are small. You know, it's about the emotions and everything behind it. And that's what the
fears,
show gets into
fears.
A lot. Oh, a lot of fear. So, yeah, Jamie Lee, good luck. I hope you watch the show. And when you're done talking to your kids, call and explain it to me because I just, I mean, my ears rode hard and put away wet. So I think I'm doing something wrong.
Absolutely. Well, that absolutely wraps us up. We had such a great time today. This was a really fun podcast. I hope you had fun listening to it. But if you have any questions for Lori Beth, please send it to us at AskLoriBeth.com. You can hit us up on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or just leave a message with your name and where you're from at 1-855-DENBERG. That's 1-855-DENBERG.
And you can find me at LB Denberg. You can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram. And you can find me on Cameo if you want to book me for a special message to a loved one.
You.
And Clark, I'll send one to Karen for free. You don't have to pay.
Yay. That's just called FaceTime.
Yeah. And then watch my Instagram for updates and stuff. Please keep sending us in these great, great questions. I truly appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much, and good night.
Good night.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.